Christ's lineage. Importance of Christ's lineage. Let me talk about a couple of disclaimers. I will be talking probably a little bit slower so that Elsa can keep up. Usually I have notes. I even left less notes today. See here, introduction, and then there's my outline, which means I got to talk slower so Elsa can keep up with what I'm saying. That doesn't mean I'm going to be any shorter today. I am reclaiming my time from the last sermon and putting it in this sermon. It takes a long time to read all the genealogies, and that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to read them all. I'm just joking. Actually, you know, in January, Pastor Dave puts out the Bible readings for the year, all kinds of different plans, so that you can have some plan to read your Bible through next year. I'm going to come up with a Bible plan that it takes out all the genealogies, and except for the Ten Commandments, removes all the law of Moses. Won't that be nice, condensed? Boy, you could probably finish that in half a year. It is interesting as you're trucking along in Genesis and you're reading your Bible, and then you hit those genealogies. Now, King James, so-and-so begat so-and-so. It kind of bogs you down sometimes. But we are talking about the importance of Christ's lineage. Genealogies is so important. Where we came from is so important. And it's obviously really important for Christ. So we're going to talk about those today. As we talk about the genealogies, there's two, the one in Matthew and then the one in Luke. So one of the things that we do in our family is very often watch a program. It was made in the 60s and 70s, the Andy Griffith Show. Black and white. It's a really good show. It has lots of good lessons and lots of good things it teaches. Other than it's really funny, too. So on the Andy Griffith Show, there's an episode titled A Plaque for Mayberry, in which the town discovers that Otis is the town's habitual drunk, is a direct descendant of a Revolutionary War hero named Nathan Tipps. So the town tries to honor Otis with a plaque. Begrudgingly, they didn't want to give it to Otis because he's the town drunk. So the town tries to honor Otis with the plaque, but he delivers this humble speech, ultimately declining the personal recognition. This is what he says. He says, "See, I don't deserve this award. I didn't do nothing. Being descended from a hero don't make you one. A person can't take credit for just being born. So I want to give this to Mayor Pike to accept for the town of Mayberry, of which I am a proud citizen." And he is right. No matter of who our heritage is and who we come from, good or bad, we can't take credit for what they did or didn't do. We can't take credit for just being born. So our lineage has a lot to do with who we are physically, and for some people financially, and our social circles. But we become as a person, but who we become as a person depends on the choices we make in life. Now, baby Judah, he was dressed in his lion outfit, keep him warm for a minute. He's not the lion of the tribe of Judah. He was baby Judah in a lion outfit this morning. But baby Judah, Judah Paul Lewis, baby Judah is named after a man of great character and a great preacher, Lydia's dad, Paul Creech. This does not automatically make Judah a man of great character and a great preacher. Judah, one of these days, by the choices he makes and the decisions he makes, will hopefully develop his character and become a person of great character. So, whoever your family was does not mean that's who you are. Whoever you are doesn't mean that automatically makes your future family like you. It's all based on who we choose individually, the choices we make. Jesus Christ's lineage was very important for us to understand who his ancestors were and how he fulfilled prophecy. So we're going to take a look at his lineage today. So we're going to talk about three things, 3 points. We're going to talk about the providence of Christ's lineage. We're going to talk about the people of Christ's lineage. And then we're going to talk about the person of Christ's lineage. The providence, the people, and the person. So we're not going to read a lot of the genealogy. I'm just going to tell you a little bit as we go along. So this morning you had to put your snow boots on. Well, for this first point, you've got to put your bigger snow boots or your bigger boots on, because we're going to go in a little deep. It's always important as a Christ follower that you stretch yourself when it comes to knowing who God is and how to understand the Bible. Because until you really understand who God is and who you are in Christ, there's always a danger the winds of culture can come sweep you away and take you places you don't want to go. Even, obviously, if you are a more mature Christian in Christ, you can't take for granted that. You still have to keep your relationship with Christ intimate and personal and continue to study the Bible and theology, so you'll build deep roots. So we're going to talk about the providence of Christ's lineage. Providence. Some people, and I don't like this word, but this is a secular culture word. They use the word fate. Fate. Oh, that's my fate. As some people say, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. I think that's Italian. Doris Day sang that. Whatever will be, to will be. But that's not true. We determine the choices we make, whether we're going to follow Christ, whether we're going to have a relationship with him. So don't think that your life is already mapped out for you by God and you don't have any choices. So when we talk about the lineage of Christ, we have to understand God had a plan. God already knew Adam and Eve was going to sin. It didn't surprise him. It's not like God woke up one morning and saw Adam and Eve eating from that tree and said, "Oh no, I didn't even know they were going to do that." He knew it. Matter of fact, it shows us how much God loves us. He already had a plan to forgive our sins before he even created us. Think about that. Now, this is where it gets a little deep. God has always existed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they've always existed. There has never been a time when there's not been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God knows everything. He knows everything. You're not going to surprise God. He knows everything about you. He loves you anyway. God knows everything. So he knew Adam and Eve was going to sin. So in his providence, he puts this plan in place. Now, there's this tension. You got providence, which is basically the sovereignty of God. And then you have the free will of man. So there's this tension. Every one of you has a free will. Like you're choosing whether you're listening to me or not right now. So you got the sovereignty of God, but then you got the free will of man. How does that work? Now, I am not a profound theologian, but I will say this. Profound theologians don't really totally understand it. There are things in the Bible that you're going to read and you're going to scratch your head. You're not going to understand it. Now, let me just say this. There isn't a Bible reading plan that gets rid of the genealogies. I'm sorry. You got to read them. There is not a Bible reading plan that takes out all the sacrificial system from the law of Moses. You got to read it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So just because the Bible has things that's hard to understand, as a Christ follower, we need to read it. We need to study it. And if we don't understand it, we need to ask questions. There's all kinds of tools to help us understand it. Like the parking in the city of Chicago. You better understand it. You'll get a ticket. There's consequences for us not understanding the Bible. And just saying, "Oh, I don't understand it, and so I don't have to follow it." It's not a loophole. So you need to understand that God's plan of salvation is explained through the two genealogies that we have in the Gospels. Matthew's genealogy starts with Abraham and comes forward to Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, and then ultimately, obviously, Jesus. So that's Matthew's genealogy. It's interesting. Each of the Gospels was written to a specific audience. It's not like these guys just sat down and just decided to write a book of the Bible. They were writing for specific reasons to a specific audience. It's interesting, Matthew was writing to a Jewish audience. He was targeting Israel. He was targeting Jewish people. So Matthew, in his genealogy, emphasizes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the king that was promised from the line of David. I can ask you questions from last week's sermon that David preached. How would you do? He talked about prophecy. God prophesied all the way back in the book of Genesis. There's coming a day when I'm sending the Messiah. All the way back, Genesis 3:15. All through the Old Testament. Book of Isaiah, some of our passages we read this time of year. Jesus is coming. The Messiah is coming. So when you look at Matthew's genealogy, he presents Jesus Christ from the line of David so that Jewish people would accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah because of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And so he spells out the family history from Abraham all the way to Jesus to show that Jesus Christ has the credentials to be the king in the line of David, the eternal king that God promised. That's why when the angel comes to Joseph, he says, "Joseph, son of David," because he's making that connection. We're not very good sometimes about figuring out who our family is and our heritage. I'm a history buff. I would love to spend some time doing it. I just don't want to spend the money. To try to track down where I came from. That's not so in the Jewish culture. When you read the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, person after person after person after person, it's accurate. It's truthful. And it proves that Jesus Christ is the promised king from the line of David. Because that was God's plan. So you need to understand this. When you look at these genealogies, there's a lot of different people in them. And we'll talk about the people in a minute. God's plan of salvation was going to happen. It was going to happen. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was coming. Period. So God's plan, his providence, his sovereignty, his sovereign plan was going to happen. But the different groups of people in the genealogies, their particular lives was still their choice of how they were going to live it. So our free will, and this is so important to understand, our free will is not going to stop the plans of God. It's just not going to happen. God has a plan, and he had a plan of salvation that he brought forth with Christ. So his plan is going to happen. Christ is going to come back again. Important to understand, Christ is going to return. So where does the free will part come in? Are we going to be a part of it? You see, God doesn't make anybody follow him who doesn't want to follow him. Have you ever been reading along through the Gospels? And it seems like Jesus is trying to talk people out of following him. Have y'all ever, those passages? We're different. You know, we're trying to talk people into following him. And we should be. We should be trying to, you know, share the plan of salvation to let people know what they're going to miss out on if they don't follow Christ. Jesus was kind of opposite. He was saying, you really need to think about it if you're going to follow me. You really need to think about the choices and the decisions and possibly the hardships that could come from following me. But each one of them had a choice. Each of us had a choice. And I hope you have chosen to follow Christ. I hope you have chosen to ask him to forgive you of your sins. But his plan of salvation, his plan for how this world's going to wrap up, it's going to happen. Period. Sovereignty of God, providence, it's going to happen. The free will part of it is, are we going to be a part of God's plan? And see, when you look at the genealogies in Matthew and Luke, a lot of these people, even though they were physically a part of the lineage of Christ, and this is really sad. Can you think about this? Literally be a physical ancestor of the Messiah, and yet the choices they made, the decisions they made to reject God, to reject a relationship with God, they're excluded from enjoying the benefits of having a relationship with God. So that's the providence of Christ's lineage. God's plan is going to happen, and it did happen. What Pastor Dave was talking about last week, the prophecies. The free will part is God allows us to choose whether we're in a relationship with him. And, you know, the sovereignty of God, the free will of man, it's a really deep discussion. We don't have time to spend all the time. But there's some things that's like, I don't totally understand it, but I trust God on faith. And I know he's taken care of things, and I know he's promised things, and I trust him, and he's going to follow through with his promises. What Pastor Dave was talking about last Sunday. Now let's talk about the people of Christ's lineage. The people of Christ's lineage. It's a good thing sometimes. You do not pick who is your ancestors. You can't pick them. You show up one day, and then when you get a little bit older, you show up at the family reunion, and there they are. It's not all good. It's not all bad. It's interesting when we talk about the sovereignty of God that God chose the people that were going to be in the lineage of Christ. I mean, after all, he's God. He could have chose different people. He chose these people. But just because he chose them didn't mean that he made them live a certain way. It's important. Unfortunately, because of some of the choices they made, they weren't a part of it. So let's talk about the people of Christ's lineage. So there were approximately 19 kings in the lineage of Christ. Starting with King David. He was the first king in the lineage of Christ. 19. Now, get this. Jesus Christ, God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, out of the 19 kings, 11 were bad kings. 11. They didn't worship God. They actually worshiped Baal. They actually were caught up, a lot of them, in child sacrificing. They were wicked. 11. And it's like, wait, is this Jesus' genealogy? 11 kings. There were 7 kings that were good. They followed God. They stopped idolatry. They tried to remove the influence of idolatry in Judah, in the land of Israel. 7 of them. You say, well, that's only 18. Well, there was one, he started off good, and then he went bad. So, you know, can you imagine, out of the 19 kings that's part of the genealogy of Christ, 11 were just outright bad. One was half and half, the other 7 was good. It's also interesting when you talk about Luke's genealogy, when we talk about the people of that. Luke was writing his letter to mainly a Gentile audience. Be people like you and me. So he was writing to Gentiles, not particularly Jewish people. He was writing to Gentiles. He was trying to reach the Gentile world. So for somebody that's a Gentile, somebody like the Romans that were in charge of that day, Jesus Christ authentically being from the line of David might not be as important to them. Because the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah. They were looking. When's he going to come? It's really sad today. They're still looking for him. They're still looking for the Messiah. They're still waiting for him to come. And of course, we know he's already came. So for Jewish people, they were looking for the Messiah. You know what? All the Gentiles of that day, they weren't looking for anything. They were just looking for, a lot of them was looking for their next meal. A lot of them was looking for something to help them cope with the hardships of life. They a lot of them were worshiping pagan Roman gods. They really wasn't looking for a Messiah. That's why when you're reading the Gospels and Jesus interacts with Gentiles of great faith, he's blown away. He's like, man, look at this great faith. You have a lot of faith in me. And you wasn't even looking for me to be your Messiah. So Luke's genealogy starts with Mary, and it actually goes all the way back to Adam. So, I mean, it's the whole world. It's interesting. It'd be neat. And I kind of joke about this sometimes. Oh, yeah, I'm kin with you. Me and you are relatives. I'm kin to Noah. And I know you're kin to Noah. But when you read the genealogies in Luke, it's accurate. I'd love to be able to trace my heritage all the way back to Adam. I can't do that. But when you read the genealogy in Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam. Now, this is a neat thing. Matthew's genealogy is the genealogy of Joseph. Joseph was an ancestor of King David. Okay? Luke's genealogy is the ancestry of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary's ancestry goes all the way back to the King of David. Now listen to this for a second. when Jesus Christ was given to Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the angel said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And she was given the baby, put in her womb, Jesus Christ. He had to be that way because Jesus couldn't have a sin nature. This is the neat thing. Joseph is not the physical father of Jesus. He doesn't have, you know, Jesus doesn't have Joseph's DNA. God, in his plan, didn't want to leave any kind of criticisms about Jesus Christ and his messiahship. Jesus Christ and him being from the line of David, that even though Joseph isn't the physical father of Jesus, Joseph is from the line of David. And then obviously Mary, the physical mother of Jesus, is from the line of David. So both of them are from the line of David. Because God didn't want to leave anything open for criticism. This is also interesting. When you talk about the people of Christ's lineage. So, Joseph's line to the King of David goes through Solomon. Anybody know who Solomon's mom was? Bathsheba, that's right. Very sad story in the life of David. But yet God chooses Bathsheba, that King David basically assaulted. She didn't have a choice. The king says, come, you have to go in those days. God chooses Solomon, the baby of King David and Bathsheba, to be a part of his genealogy. Isn't that interesting? We don't even know if Bathsheba is Jewish. We know her husband was Uriah the Hittite. She could have been a Hittite. She wasn't Jewish. We don't know. She might have been an Israelite, but we don't know. That's interesting, right? You figure God would have picked somebody else, maybe one of other Dave's multiple wives. I'm calling him Dave like I knew him. David, one of his other multiple wives. But God picked Bathsheba. Solomon was her son. All right, this is something else that's interesting. In Luke's genealogy, Mary's ancestor that came from King David was named Nathan. Can anybody, this is a big prize, can anybody tell me who Nathan's mom was? Anyone? 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 Nathan's mom was also Bathsheba. Nathan was also a child of King David and Bathsheba. Isn't that interesting? You have Mary's genealogy going through Bathsheba, through Nathan. You have Joseph's genealogy going through Solomon. Bathsheba's his mom. And of course, you know, they go their different ways and then they come back and intersect in Jesus Christ the Messiah. Isn't that interesting? Another couple of things, and I know I'm running out of time. Another couple of things about the people in Christ's lineage, and this is something y'all all have known. We've done sermons about it. Ruth, the Moabite, is a grandmother of Jesus Christ the Messiah. And then we have from Jericho, we have Rahab. And she is a grandmother from Jesus's side of Joseph. And, you know, you get labeled in the Bible sometimes, like Thomas the doubter, Judas the betrayer. And when you talk about Rahab, you automatically almost say Rahab the harlot. I mean, it's, and we label people in our own society, and that's something we need to not do. We do not need to label people. We need to look at each person as a creation of God and love them for who they are, not try to generically label them. But Rahab the harlot, rescued from Jericho, is in the line of Christ. It's interesting. There's lots of prophets and priests in the line of Christ. You figure those would be some of the people in the line of Christ. When you look on Luke's genealogy, you have Enoch. He didn't die. He's in the line of Christ. You have Methuselah. He's the oldest man that ever lived. He's in the line of Christ. You have Noah, Shem. Now we want to talk about the person of Christ's lineage. And this won't take as long. The person of Christ's lineage. The whole point of the genealogies in the Gospels is to come to the person of the genealogies. And that's Jesus Christ the Messiah. I'm going to read one verse. I'm sorry, Elsa. It's Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. One verse, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. This is Joseph when he is being told by the angel about Jesus. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The person of Christ's lineage is obviously Jesus Christ the Messiah. Do you know what the name Jesus means? Means Joshua. You're right. Do you know what the name Joshua means? Means God saves. Jesus means God saves. And it comes from the Hebrew word Yoshua. I'm sorry, Elsa. Basically, Joshua. Joshua means God saves. Literally, the name Jesus means God saves, his plan of salvation. That's why when the angel tells Joseph about this son that Mary is going to have, he says, you're going to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The whole reason Matthew and Luke put the genealogies in the Gospels was to convince us that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. No matter of his family history, no matter of the good, the bad, the ugly of his genealogy. I didn't even mention Tamar and Judah. Not that Judah. Go read the story of Tamar and Judah. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God's plan brought it all together to show us that he is a God that forgives sins and he loves people. And there is not one person that is so bad that they can't be forgiven. There's not anybody in your family that is beyond forgiveness. And yes, it may take an act of God through the Holy Spirit to convince them. But that's the way it's supposed to work anyway. We can just share the good news about Christ, about the peace that Sarah was reading. And that's why we celebrate. Let's pray. Lord, thank